Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome into Football Friday. Usually here we do the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy. We're going to talk with Scott Pianowski of Yahoo Sports as part of that. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Beautiful day today. Bills Cardinals on the way Sunday, 1 o'clock. One game in the books. The Chiefs hold off the Ravens in a dramatic game. We welcome in Scott Pianowski. Scott, heck of a way to start the season. Good game, and
How panicked should I be as a Mark Andrews owner?
I think very panicked. First of all, we just saw one of the five best games of the year. When you talk about the star power in the game, the way the game ended, a lot of fantasy injury too. And a lot of times when the best teams play, we know who the key players are, and some of them hit, some of them don't. But there aren't takeaways. There are takeaways here. We have to. Mm-hmm. Get Isaiah Likely more rostered. The idea, 25% in Yahoo, and that's trended up a little bit in leagues that allowed him to be picked up last night. Most leagues will have to wait until their next waiver period, right? But Likely was a fun pick. I feel like I got him half right and half wrong because I talked about him before seasons. An upside play. Look what he did without Mark Andrews last year. If Andrews goes down, Likely can be great. But what we saw last night is Likely can be great in a game where Mark Andrews plays. And I think Likely probably settles into – it's plausible he could be the second most important person in this passing game. Zay Flowers didn't have a big game. They missed him for a touchdown on the penultimate play. He had at least one catch wiped out by a penalty. Baltimore's offensive line needs to figure out how to line up correctly. And it's not a great offensive line anyway, but good coaching. We'll figure that out. Long term, I think they'll be okay with that. But the big concern here, I mean, we knew that Travis Kelce was going to be maybe a little bit downplayed this year like he was last year. He was great in the playoffs. I wasn't surprised Kelce had a quiet game. Mark Andrews, I feel like I have to totally reevaluate him. I'm afraid that Likely is their number one tight end. I know Likely is merely a hybrid player. He was used as a receiver all over the formation, but it's hard to unsee what he did, the 9-1, 11-1, and he, by a toenail, misses a second touchdown. I mean, he was, along with Xavier Worthy in a limited role, he's the guy who had those oh-my-God moments in the opener.
Yeah, the other thing I might be concerned about, Scott, is like the Ravens kind of looked like they couldn't block. And I saw this morning that Andrews' route participation rate was 72%, and he's never been below 84% in his career. So what does that change for you, though, if that holds up through the year? If the Ravens can't block, I mean, Henry still gets in the end zone, so I guess that's fine. But, I mean, I would have more concern maybe about everybody a little bit.
Right. I mean, the one player who needs blocking probably the least as far as his running production is Jackson. We saw, I don't know if they want him running the ball 16 times like he did last night. He goes over 100 yards, and he's just a special player, and he's even in better shape this year. But the thing with Andrews is that you drafted him knowing that he was an injury concern, And you thought, well, okay, when he plays, he's their goal line guy. And what if he isn't? What if he's needed to block more? Although Andrews has never been, he's always been more of a receiver than a blocker as a tight end. But, you know, offensive teams that can't block, a lot of times the way you mitigate that is extra tight ends or keeping those guys in to block. So I don't see how we can spin it positively for Andrews. I do think you have to point out one thing, though, with Baltimore. It's a team. They've been the number one seed a couple of times in the Jackson era. I think those were the two MVP seasons. It's a good coaching staff. I remember, I think back, this is a decade old now, but there was that New England-Kansas City Monday night game in 2014, I want to say, where the Patriots line just looked horrible. The Chiefs were in Brady's face all night. He actually got pulled for his own safety late in that game. People were like, oh my God, the Patriots offensive line is terrible. This is the year New England collapses. And you know they had Dante Scarnecchia at the time, who was a great offensive line coach, and they figured it out. Baltimore has really good coaching. I think they'll at least make the line credible. All we care about, it's not going to be a great offensive line. By the way, San Francisco has that same problem. Even with Trent Williams signed, they have a substandard offensive line. But good coaching, good scheming can mitigate a lot of that. Baltimore's going to be favored more often than not. This was a rare game. They were actually on the road and an underdog to a good Kansas City team. But game script is going to bail Henry out. At the end of the year, he may average 3.8 yards a carry. He's going to have 17 touchdowns. He'll be totally playable. I'll mention one other thing I did not see coming at all. It's a lesser thing than the likely note. But Justice Hill, I've never thought of as dynamic in the pass game. He looked dynamic last night, catches 6 of 8 targets. At one point, he was the only thing they really had working in the pass game. And maybe he's got 60, 65 catches in his back pocket. Maybe that's possible. We know Henry has never been much of a receiver. There's been some other injuries in this room. I thought Justice Hill was undraftable before the season. Now in a medium and deeper league, he's at least somebody to think about stashing on your bench.
Yeah, you know, Scott, one point about that, like, you've already put him out there to block one-on-one against Chris Jones twice. It won't get any worse than that. You know, like, he actually held up in those blocking scenarios. So, like, if you think he's going to be a third-down or pass-catching back, they've already thrown him as far down as whatever, the biggest challenge they possibly could. So I think that's probably a good bet.
And, you know, so often with running backs, whatever you think of a player, just throw it out the door, throw it out the window when you see what the usage is, what the plan is for the player. It doesn't matter what we thought of Justice Hill 2 weeks ago, you know, 2 days ago. If they've shown their cards as he's our third down back, he's our hurry-up back, and they're never going to use Derrick Henry in hurry-up situations. We knew that going in. We just didn't think a lot of times with these mobile quarterbacks, they don't like to throw to their running backs, and this is a case where Jackson was willing to improvise, was willing to take a throw that maybe in the past he wouldn't have thrown. Aren't we all worried about Saquon Barkley? What's he going to do with Jalen Hurts? Hurts doesn't throw to his running backs, but for one night anyway, Lamar Jackson was pretty good at that. Justice Hill was useful. So, you know, you're an 8 or 10 team league, you can ignore this. But in all my 12 team and up leagues, I'm sure Hill is going to be bid on in the next waiver period.
One more takeaway from last night. I mean, I know people had started to move up Rishi Rice, and he got a bunch of targets and looked good. You know, for a guy that was, you know, thought about as maybe a bust early on, he came on strong at the end of last season, and if he gets the kind of attention he got last night, it's one of the things that Xavier Worthy can kind of do for this offense is, you know, pull defenses away, open up the middle for guys like Rice and Kelsey.
Yeah, I thought there were three clear winners for the Chiefs. Pacheco and Rice got there with volume. You know, Pacheco had the best 15 for 45 I've ever seen because it seemed like he pushed the pile on a number of plays. He was touched, I think, by 7 defenders on his touchdown run. And was still active in the passing game. You know, eventually, Samaje Perine will learn the first names of his teammates and learn the playbook. So the fact that he was a bit factor was maybe to be expected. But Pacheco settled in as a late second round or early third round pick in a lot of leagues. That looks like a good deal. Rice was really looked the part. The only question you had, I think, of him, because he had 69 catches in the last 10 games last year. So he was basically Amon-Ra St. Brown light for Kansas City in the second half of the playoff run. The only thing we worried about is where is the suspension headed. It sounds like, I'm not a lawyer, but it sounds like the chance of him being suspended for any significant time this year is very low. Maybe that can get kicked to 2025. I don't want to downplay what happened because it was a serious offense, but it sounds like for fantasy, it's probably a green light for Rice. And Worthy only got 4 opportunities, targeted 3 times. He ran the ball once. His first carry is a 21-yard touchdown. It's just what Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes need, one of the fastest guys in the world playing football. Worthy, unfortunately, is probably for a while going to be one of these guys where it's not a lot of snaps, it's not a lot of routes. He's a boom or bust guy, but the booms are going to be really exciting. So I won't rank him any higher than maybe a wide receiver 3 next week. I think they get the Raiders. Well, the Ravens get the Raiders. It's the Bengals for the Chiefs. But Worthy is one of those, you know, exciting upside wide receiver 3s. Hopefully, you mitigate him with some safer volume up front. But those were the big winners. And I think Travis Kelce is going to have a lot of what we saw last night. He was not the first read for Patrick Mahomes. That was unquestionably Rashee Rice. They don't want to throw Kelce a ton of snaps, a ton of targets. They want him fresh. He's basically like a pitcher for the Dodgers, right? Throw 100 innings, throw 120 innings, and we need you fresh in October. That's how the Chiefs are playing this. They need Kelce fresh in January. He's somebody I never thought about drafting. He'll still be good. He's Travis Kelce, but he's no longer the alpha in this offense.
Scott Pianowski on the Wester Hotline. Do you have any instant reaction to the reporting from Rappaport at the beginning of this hour where Russell Wilson, like suddenly that kind of sounds like, all right, maybe he wouldn't play on Sunday, and then Justin Fields, I think, becomes a conversation, right, for fantasy. And then McCaffrey with his calf injury listed as Achilles also. Like, I don't know, like, I've got him in certain places, and I don't love him ever being listed with Achilles on any injury report.
Yeah, McCaffrey, unfortunately, I say unfortunately, where you picked him and just how often he scores or produces for that offense he made in San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan. You just have to play McCaffrey in any physical condition. I would like to save the entire Pittsburgh offense until we see them show their cards a little bit. Obviously, Justin Fields, when he plays, his running is so dynamic. He's not a great passer. I faded George Pickens all summer because I just don't trust Arthur Smith. And I get the sneaking suspicion that Cordarrelle Patterson is going to do just enough to make life crazy for Najee Harris or Jaylen Warren managers. That we saw Arthur Smith, Johnny Smith is not a bad player, but he's not Kyle Pitts. And Arthur Smith loved to get the ball to Johnny Smith, loved to get the ball to Cordarrelle Patterson. He loved to get the ball to Tyler Allgeier, a good player, instead of Bijan Robinson, an electric player last year. So the Steelers are an offense I'm going to try to fade. I think that game could be a slog. Atlanta did not play most of its primary players in the preseason, so maybe a slow off-the-mark game for them. And I think last night maybe set us up for unrealistic expectations, right? The second game tonight is a game in Brazil. It's out of routine for these players. I wouldn't be surprised if this was maybe a little bit of a fantasy letdown, even though the Packers and the Eagles have so many star players. But the Steelers are a team I want to see something first before I proactively start any of these guys, even people who have Najee Harris. It's possible maybe your third running back is Chuba Hubbard. I'd rather take my chances with Hubbard at New Orleans, right? Dave Canales, think what he did for Rashad White last year. I think Hubbard could be that guy until Brooks comes back, and maybe if the team has a losing record, maybe they don't rush Brooks back. I don't think Harris has to be a starter in week one. And, you know, we talked about Likely's contingent upside. Fields has a lot of that. I'd still like to see a game before I went anywhere near starting him.
What game do you like to maybe be the best where, you know, you're talking star power matchups this weekend where points could be big? I mean, Buffalo, Arizona might be a good candidate for that. I mean, these teams have weapons on offense. It's going to be nice out, you know, like Marvin Harrison Jr., Trey McBride, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen. While we don't have the wide receiver one here, there's still probably a lot of fantasy points to go around.
There are, and that I think is maybe the second best game on the slate. The first game I want to point out, this is pretty obvious, you're just going to start your guys, but the Lions and the Rams on Sunday night indoors, my colleague Dalton Del Don has called Ford Field the Coors Field of the NFL, where the Lions, for whatever reason, play so much better at home. They kept Ben Johnson continuity, and the Rams, we know where they're built. Well, I was curious to see what happens with Williams and Corum in that backfield, but Cooper Kupp had a good summer. It sounds like Nacua is clear of the injury list, so that's a game. A lot of people who fall behind in their fantasy matchups are going to hope to come back in those games because they have Rams or they have Lions. My stance on the Buffalo receiving room has always been that familiarity matters to me. The fact, and I know everybody said this a million times, Khalil Shakir is the only receiver in this room who was caught a game day pass from Josh Allen. Curtis Samuel comes over, history with Brady, the wide receiver 25 year in Carolina a few years ago, dinged up the toe injury. I think it may be a slow unveil for him. I want to give Keon Coleman some time just to get his feet wet, the type of player he is. I think he's going to be eventually a good football player and maybe a fantasy viable one, but I would never start him on spec in week one, knowing that eventually he's probably got 7 or 8 touchdowns in him. I just think they might slide towards the second half. So Shakir was the guy in that Buffalo receiver room I was starting more confidently, but I agree with you. You'll probably need 27 or 30 points to win this game.
In this game, for not that you would ever debate playing him, but we're hearing a lot about how bad the Cardinals' defensive line might be, and the Bills being a favorite this week by almost a touchdown. How high should an expectation be of James Cook for this week?
Yeah, a very high-end running back, too, I would start confidently. Even some hero builds where you only get that one signature back, he could conceivably be your number one back. And the question with Cook is always going to be how much goal line equity. And people have to remember, right, what Allen had, I think, 15 rushing touchdowns last year was the only year he's had double digits. If he goes back to 7 or 8, those other 7 touchdowns need to get redistributed to somebody, and why not James Cook? I didn't end up with a lot of Cook this year, just the way my drafts fell and the way some of my builds were, but I'd like to have a lot more of him. I think he's going to be maybe not a home run player, but I would be very surprised. Obviously, injuries a part of life with any running back, but I'd be very surprised if at the end of the season we're like, oh, now James Cook was a brick. I think he's at least going to meet his ADP, and there is some upside there as well.
One team I want to ask about, just as kind of like overall, I don't know what's going to happen there. Running back, receiver, I mean, rookie quarterback, Denver. Like, what's happening with Javonte Williams and Jaleel McLaughlin? And they've got some talent at receiver. Cortland Sutton was a surprise last year, right? So, like, what do you make of Denver? This week they play Seattle. Like, it's, I don't know. The Broncos, if they find their quarterback, everything changes. But I just don't know what to do with them.
It's a great call. I think there's a lot of offenses because so many teams change quarterbacks or change coordinators or change coaching staffs entirely that we're looking for the unveils. I talked about Canales and Carolina. I want to see that unveil. This game has two interesting unveils because Grubb takes over in Seattle, and that team desperately needed a new identity in offense. And we saw all the pinball points that they put up in last year in Oregon. You know, his quarterback is now the Denver quarterback, Bo Nix, who, you know, after spending more time in college than the Animal House guys, I mean, now he's in the NFL. And, you know, Sean Payton got production out of this passing offense last year. Sutton had a breakout year, and he never felt comfortable with Russell Wilson. They basically chased him out of town as soon as the season ended. What if Bo Nix is good? Sutton was somebody I proactively drafted into because the touchdown rate per catch is never going to – 10 touchdowns, 59 targets, I wonder, 59 catches, you know, maybe 70, 80 targets, whatever it was. He's not going to be as efficient this year, but he's still there – unquestioned number one. I mean, you saw it in the Buffalo-Denver game. This guy can catch touchdowns in the most tight, limited of spaces. So I drafted proactively into Sutton, and I will play him this week on a lot of teams. It'd be a medium or deeper format. If you only start two receivers, you're not starting Sutton. But he's a good player, and I feel good about him. I think Nix will be a good player, too, because I believe in Sean Payton. What I don't know is who is Javonte Williams. At one point, he was a big fantasy name, and then he got hurt. And then last year, they couldn't run in touchdowns, and, you know, Piran would steal some catches, and McLaughlin was a better player than we thought. Now they have Estime, a rookie there, just clouded situation. A lot of times, Sean Payton has used two backs anyway. So I was very careful with this backfield. I'm not going to aggressively start anybody in this backfield this week. And one guy I really like in Seattle, a guy I drafted a lot of, is Jackson Smith and Jigba. Now, at one point, I think it was Brian Hartline, the Ohio State receiver coach, who was a good NFL player for a long time. At one point, I think he said that JSN was the star of that receiver group that included Garrett Wilson, that included Chris Olave, that still had Marvin Harrison on the bench at that point. He hadn't spread his wings yet. Wanted to draft all four of these guys. I didn't get a lot of Harrison because he was so expensive. But everything went wrong for JSN his rookie year. He had a couple of injuries. The Seattle offensive line fell apart. In week one, Geno Smith lost his mojo a little bit. I think Smith has a comeback season. Tyler Lockett, age 32 season. DK Metcalf, not the most consistent guy in the world. I think he sees a lot of Pat Surtain in this game. I'm expecting a breakout season from JSN, and I think it starts in week one.
When it comes to the rookie receivers, we spent so much time in the offseason talking about these guys. Now that we're here, we're for week one. Like Harrison, no question. Neighbors, no question. Where would you draw the line after that for willing to start in, even if it's a little bit of a deeper format? Like, how many of the rookie receivers do you think are goes right away?
I think Adunze and Brian Thomas have chances to get off to good starts. Chicago added pieces, right? I mean, they added the second tight end, which kind of, you know, Everett, so that maybe Cole Kmet wasn't draftable after two top 10 seasons, and they added whatever's left of Keenan Allen, who's all guile now. He's never been a fast player anyway, but he's, you know, slower in his age 30 seasons. But Adunze, the thing I want people to remember is that Harrison was probably the consensus number one receiver in this class, and obviously he went before Neighbors and Adunze, but there are people who think Neighbors is the jewel of this class, and there are people who think Adunze could be the best player of this class eventually, and I think that's in play. Neighbors is going to be peppered right off the bus, so you don't need your help, any help starting Harrison or Neighbors, even with Daniel Jones. Never had 800-yard receiver, by the way, but that's going to change this year. He's never had this kind of talent, but Brian Thomas, man. I think Thomas and some of the other rookies get a little bit shielded because there was a big three. Thomas is somebody who I'm excited about starting right away. Trevor Lawrence was one of my favorite quarterback targets. He threw out that first year with Urban Meyer. He was just so poorly coached. Lawrence will run for 300 to 500 yards, a handful of touchdowns. I think Gabe Davis is a nice sneaky ad for them. He may be more valuable to the Jaguars than he is for fantasy, but he'll catch a handful of long touchdowns. They have a good tight end. They have a featured running back. I think Jacksonville's kind of a sneaky destination fantasy offense, and I think Brian Thomas is going to make a couple of splashy plays on opening day. I probably like Thomas a little bit more in the short term. Adunze will be the better player in the long term.
Scott Pianowski of Yahoo Sports. We'll chat on Thursdays, Scott. So next week, although next week that is Bills Dolphins Day, whatever, we'll figure it out.
Did you do any guillotine leagues this year, by the way?
I'm in three.
I am.
All right.
I am, and 18 teams in my guillotine league, and
nice.
For whatever reason, a handful of teams had to auto draft. I think we had three or four auto drafting teams. I was playing chicken at quarterback, and those auto drafted teams started to take second quarterbacks. I forget how bad my quarterbacks were. This was one of the deepest quarterback. I just thought, well, quarterback's so deep. I don't care if I have Matthew Stafford. I'm fine with that. I didn't get Matthew Stafford. I got like the tear down from Matthew Stafford. I'm afraid to look at it. I need to survive early and then aggressively bid to, you know, the players who get cut. But I love the format. If you haven't tried it, it's one of the, you know, it's a dessert or it's an appetizer. It's not meant to be the main course, but Paul Tarkian came up with a great game. And I think if you play it, you'll really enjoy it, provided. It's much like Survivor. It's a blast when you last. It's no fun when you go out in September.
Yeah. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, guys.
Scott Pianowski of Yahoo Sports. Fantasy football.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season is upon us. So, all right, fun, very quick question.
Okay.
Are we about to have another Diggs thing?
Maybe. Maybe. Isn't there always going to be a new Diggs? Every week. Diggs thing. This is not the GQ article.
No. He just answered a question in Houston.
Yep.
And I'm just going to brace myself for this because What he said was the high road, Joe. What he said was the classy thing. And Bills fans are still going to take it the wrong way? Is that what we're going to, was that what's going to happen now? He was talking about how it's wonderful in Houston and Southern hospitality, and he's really enjoying it, and the people are nice. And then he said, I'm never going to talk bad about my old girlfriend to make my new girlfriend feel good. That is not an insult. That is the definition of the high road.
Mm-hmm.
That is the definition of being, classy might be strong. But if you say to you, I'm not gonna talk trash about that person just to make you feel better about yourself. That is being mature.
Yep.
No?
That's how I take it. That is not how everyone's going to take it, though. That's how I take it.
Shocker. Okay. I'm not going to trash them just to make it seem like, you know, I'm saying nice things about you.
Diggs, it's just whatever your preconceived notion is of what he is and what he means, you're going to, every comment will be interpreted differently. Every comment, every question, every
even one where he
sideline video, everything. There's a preseason clip of him intensely talking about a play with C.J. Stroud that very clearly is them going back and forth on how a play is supposed to be run, how the route is supposed to be run. And you have half going, yeah, that's intense. That's Diggs there, right? Like, that's him and the young quarterback trying to figure out how to get on the same page. And then the other half goes, oh, he's already a problem.
Pointing cameras at sidelines is a net negative. It's a mistake. Constant, just like, oh, look what it looks like. Look what he's saying there. You don't know. That's like the Derek Anderson conversation we had earlier. Okay, when we return, special guest coming up, we will be speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Matt Abels from the Niagara Falls Air Force Reserve Base. Turns out, I know the guy that flies the plane.
The plane.
The flyover.
Flyover plane.
We'll do some flyover. We're doing flyover chatter when we get back. So stay tuned for that. I'm excited. A lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my extensive knowledge of flying airplanes coming from the Top Gun movies.
Yeah. Right.
That's pretty much it. So excited for that. Spoiler alert, we're going to find out about the flyover, some of the details of the flyover that's scheduled for Sunday as the Bills play the Cardinals. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
I feel the need for speed.
All right, happy Football Friday. Football Friday on WGR presented by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. We already chatted with Sal. We talked with Chris Brown. Just had Scott Pianowski. And now, a little bit different on the Western Hotline, joining us on the Western Hotline, Lieutenant Colonel Matt Abels from the Niagara Falls Air Force Reserve Base.
Let's go.
Good morning, Jeremy. Good morning, Joe.
Can I say Matt? How do I shorten that, Matt?
That's fine.
Okay, very good. Now, Matt, you and I met over the summer because you volunteered. You were gracious enough to volunteer to caddy some of my 100 holes that we did at Wanaka for the Courage of Carly Foundation and the Live Like Luca Foundation. You caddied for 18 holes. We had a great time. We talked a lot about planes, you know. It was a great time, and I learned that you fly and have flown a lot of these planes. And yesterday, you know, you and I were exchanging texts, and it came to my attention via you that you are doing the flyover.
That's true. There's actually going to be three of us flying the airplane. I should say there are two pilots at the seats with controls, and then a third pilot who will be there to make sure that we nail the timing with the national anthem. Some of those high visibility events, like last night with the Chiefs flyover, you saw B2. They have precision timing equipment on the airplanes. Sometimes an extra set of eyes for a big visibility event is really helpful. And then additionally, we'll have a boom operator on the airplane who'll be in the back, and the boom will be extended. The boom is a large telephone pole-shaped object that extends on the rear of the airplane. It's designed to pass fuel from us onto another aircraft. And that will be down, and the boom operator will probably have the best view of the stadium as we pass over.
That was one of my questions. Like, as you're up there in the seat, in the cockpit, like, what can you see? You can see the stadium as you're approaching it, and then, of course, like, as you fly over it, you're going to lose that visual.
That's true. It's a little bit counterintuitive. The lower that we get, we'll actually lose visibility sooner. If we're up way high, we'll be able to see the stadium. You know, if you're at 20,000 feet, you could see the stadium from 100 miles away, in theory. You lose clarity the closer you get to the horizon. But as we drop down lower, just as you climb down on the bottom of a ladder, like the optics are the same, you won't be able to see as far out. And obviously, once it gets below the dashboard in our cockpit, we won't be able to make out all the cheering crowd members down below.
Yeah. At that point, is it like, I mean, whatever, your bearings and this and that, and like, have you done this before? And if so, how many times?
So I have not done a Bills flyover before. This will be my first one, which I'm really looking forward to. And in fact, I'm deferring to the other two pilots to be at the controls. Actually, the least experienced of the three, not to say that he's inexperienced, but it's a very highly qualified crew. The guy flying the controls will be simply kind of like doing the monkey business. He's just going to be doing the throttles and keeping the aircraft on altitude and doing all the simple stuff. And then myself and the other pilot will be managing air traffic control, other aircraft in the area, ensuring that our path between where we're holding, which is going to be over Lake Erie roughly, and then running in through the stadium on a southeast run-in. We'll be ensuring that the timing is good. The way it works is we'll have other air crew members from our squadron that will be timing the rehearsal during pregame. And they'll get a good hack on how long it's going to take, and they pass that information to us in real time as it's happening. And then we have a preset route that we know exactly how long it takes from the lake to over the stadium, and we will start that run-in at the predetermined point in the anthem. And you'll notice sometimes, you know, the flyovers last night actually was, I thought, just a touch early. You saw the singer touching her ear. It's not to critique those pilots because flying the B-2, those pilots are very highly vetted. But it's a difficult task to coordinate with someone who, I mean, frankly, the singer doesn't really care about when the flyover occurs. And sometimes maybe they go a little bit fast, they go a little bit slow. And it's a delicate dance between us, the person coordinating with us on the ground, and obviously the singer, who's rightfully so on their own when they're performing.
So is it structured enough where, like, you're going at the same speed from the moment, like, they give you the go-ahead, like, okay, head for the stadium? Or is it kind of vary right up to it where, like, okay, hey, slow down a little bit because, you know, it's still, we're only halfway through?
Well, there are only so, I can only go so fast because of the FAA airspace structure. And so if I'm a little bit late on timing, I'm capped at a certain airspeed. The variation is kind of tight. So once you get within about a minute and a half or so, you really can't make up much more time just based on the short length of time that you have to traverse between your holding point and the stadium. So it really goes down like a flyover timing. It really comes down to the guys on the ground, actually, who are coordinating with us of when to come in. A good pilot can, in a sterile environment, can pretty much hit timing within 5 seconds or so pretty easily, maybe 5 to 10 seconds. In an airplane that I flew previously, we had timing tolerances for qualification upwards of a minute in order to hit a point. Obviously, that would be a gross deviation when you're talking flyover. You know, they might be starting the kickoff by that point. So we tighten those up, and that's also why we have that third pilot, as I mentioned, just for the high visibility of the event in order to make sure everything's on time.
Lieutenant Colonel Matt Abels will be part of the team that does the flyover at the stadium on Sunday, the scheduled flyover. On altitude, like, is there a set altitude? Two questions. That's the quick one. And then the second one is, how about, like, the atmosphere? Is there music playing? Are you listening to the pregame show? You know, like, what as you're coming in, I mean, obviously you're operating a very complex piece of machinery, a big plane that you have experience with, but, like, what is that like on the holding out over Lake Erie, and then once you turn to come in?
Sure. So on the altitude point, the rule is 1,000 feet above. Now, I also need to maintain 1,000 feet above congested areas, that is. I also need to maintain 1,000 feet above any obstacle that's within 2,000 feet of my machine. So the scoreboard, we roughly rounded up to about 500 feet above the parking lot level, which means we'll be 1,500 feet above the parking lot level, if you want to think of it that way, coming over the stadium. And that's a pretty standard number. That's governed by the FAA. And as far as the atmosphere, we, in the older days of flying, and they're being phased out now with newer aircraft, we actually could tune AM radio stations while we were flying. They were used as navigational aids. And so sometimes if it's a lull in the flight, especially if I'm flying over Lake Erie or this area, I would tune up WGR and I'd be listening. And there was one time I had even thought about making a phone patch radio call.
Yes.
It was an afternoon show. I was on my way back from a deployment flying a C-130. This was a few years ago. And I ended up not doing it because it would have put the screener. He would have been really annoyed with over an HF radio with a phone patch trying to call the afternoon show. But yeah, so in the new airplanes that we're flying, and I say new in quotes because it's an updated version of a aircraft that's built in the 50s, 60s, the KC-135, which is what we'll be flying. They're actually older airplanes with newer avionics. We don't have the ability to tune into those radio stations anymore. So as we're doing pre-flights, we'll probably have pre-game going and, be listening, paying attention. But at some point, we got to turn that off and pay attention to the mission at hand, which is, taking off on time and flying our route and nailing that timing over the 50-yard line.
Yeah. The KC, is there KC-135 straddle tank, or is that what it is?
That's the one.
All right. What any fun facts about this this plane?
Well, we can go from here to the Middle East, roughly, on one tank of gas. We have the ability to offload well over 100,000 pounds of fuel, probably 200,000 pounds of fuel to other airplanes. And almost every ounce of fuel that I have for myself, I have the ability to move through that boom, that telephone pole out the back, into another airplane. So I'm a very generous aircraft in that sense.
Very good. KC-135 straddle tanker Sunday during the flyover.
I don't think, just looking at the apps at least, Sunday looks like this would be much of a thing, but do you guys track weather like right up to it? Like I guess how bad would the weather have to be? Do you guys know like when it would plans would change?
So I need to have at least 500 feet. I need to be 500 feet below the cloud deck. I have to get down to it. So there's a couple nuances there, but we can traverse through weather, and we have radar on the aircraft as well. So we'll keep our distance from any convective activity, and that'll just be a game time decision.
You said hard deck there.
Well, if you want to call hard deck would be the 1,000 feet that I had mentioned. If we go below 1,000 feet, that's when we would be standing at attention talking to the man.
Right, sure. Yeah, this is my inner Top Gun childhood saying like, you can tell me what the hard deck is, man. I'll make sure everybody knows.
Yep.
All right. Now, one more thing before I let you go. We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Matt Abels, who is from the Niagara Falls Air Force Reserve Base, part of the team flying the KC-135 on Sunday. Do you guys have an air show anytime soon? You and I had talked about that when we were on the course, that maybe there'd be one coming up in the future, and I haven't seen anything, so I'm just kind of asking.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of glad you put me on the spot here. We have been finally getting back into the routine of putting an air show together. As you can imagine, it's a pretty complex endeavor, especially when you bring the Thunderbirds, the Blue Angels, a high-performance jet demonstration team. And we're targeting early summer of 26. We really wanted to do it next year, but the squadron is going to be deploying. Actually, the wing will have a lot of members deploying next year. And because of that, it's easier on the system for the base. It's a smaller base. To host it in 26. So we'll obviously have our public affairs office is going to go full gear probably later on this year, maybe early next year, with advertising dates and what we can expect. But we are very excited to have it back on base, to have families, have dads, have moms, grandpas, kids touching the planes, feeling the planes, seeing the acts, being able to talk with the acts when they land and have that interpersonal experience.
Yeah.
The one that we did over the lake was fantastic. We had never done it like that before. And having the Blue Angels rip by downtown, it caught a lot of people off guard. But the one thing that we lacked, as awesome as that experience was the ability to walk around the flight line and to be able to see and feel and touch. And we want to get that experience back. So yeah. I appreciate you asking me about that.
Yeah, yeah. I also want to ask you, what about like ride-alongs on the Strato Tanker? Do we do those ever? Because, you know, I like Matt Beauvais, who does the show with Sal, always sunny. It's not always sunny. It's always game day in Buffalo. Like, his profile picture on Twitter, he's in a fighter jet. And I'm too much of a wuss for that. But, you know, maybe I'd get in a Strato Tanker sometime. If, you know, just saying.
Jeremy, there's a way we can do that. And I know a guy on base, the public affairs office. We could probably line something like that up.
All right. Well, I'll think about it. Lieutenant Colonel Matt Abels, who's part of the team doing the flyover from the Niagara Falls Air Force Base. Great to talk to you again. Thanks for doing this for us. It was super cool.
Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks, Joe. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Thanks, Matt.
I'm too much of a wuss. You're not getting me in a fighter jet. That thing, I mean, I'd probably still be nervous, but what?
Not one time?
Fighter jet?
Sure.
No.
Once?
I'm too old. My heart would stop.
I've been invited to do flying lessons, and I've not taken the person up on it yet.
So that Stratotanker, it's the one with the boom, the fuel thing.
Yeah.
When Matt came out to do the 100 holes with me, you know, I that's when I get up in the morning. I play golf at 5 a.m., and I think he might have come for like the 12:30 or 3 o'clock. Anyway, you know, he comes, we get a chance to get to know each other a little bit, and he shows me a picture like, here's what I've been doing this morning. And what is it? He's, you know, just flying this giant plane up there, refueling planes at whatever 1,000 feet. I'm just, my mind is just blown by that. Like, here I thought I was having an interesting morning.
Yeah, just refueling.
You know, they're refueling planes in the sky, which has got to be one of the most incredible things that we can do as a species. Oh, we can fly and refuel in the sky.
While we're up there.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go.
So you go home and watch Top Gun?
Maybe. Give me a movie with a KC-135 Stratotanker, you know? So anyway, that's what's going to be flying over the stadium. And our thanks to Lieutenant Colonel Matt Abels for that. Extendo Sports when we get back. And then, of course, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's all part of Football Friday. Getting you geared up for Football Friday. Presented by Salino Law. Car Crash Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Okay, wrapping up Football Friday. Got a couple tweets about the flyover interview with Lieutenant Colonel Matt Abels. I like this one, John. I can't wait to wow my wife with all my flyover knowledge at the game on Sunday. Ready? Let's practice, everybody. Maybe your friends, your family didn't hear the interview. When that thing comes through, he's like, oh, yeah, that's KC-135 Stratotanker and Lieutenant Colonel Matt Abels and his team.
Originally built in 1956. Yeah. I think that's a newer version.
You know, they got to be – actually, I got to get the numbers go back.
1,000 feet.
They got to be 1,000 feet clear of anything that's 2,000 feet within the target. So, you know, that's why they have to – like, you can own that.
Yes, you can.
In your section. Just dish out the information. That was awesome. Very cool. And, you know, we got a flyover source now.
Yeah. Game you're most interested in on Sunday that's not Bills Cardinals.
Let me take a look. Let me take a look at what the options are, because
while you look,
I want to pick a 4 o'clock game because nothing's going to trump Bills Cardinals.
Yeah, well, right, because if the Bills Cardinals game didn't exist, that I'd have to play that game for this. I'd be all over Texans Colts. The Texans, I think, are elite, and I have no idea how good the Colts are going to be. The Colts could be great, or they could be bad. I don't know.
I would agree. If the Bills aren't playing, it's Texans Colts. If I'm picking from the other games, I mean, Tennessee-Chicago is a good answer, but that's also like early morning, right? That's a 1 p.m.
There's not many 4 o'clock games.
No, 4 o'clock. Dallas-Cleveland is a good game.
Yes, it is. That line is the one that's moved the most. The Cowboys opened as the favorite of that game, and I think it's now Browns -3 in some places. So that line has moved a lot. Cleveland now favored. They are at home. So
okay. The other thing to think about is Syracuse-Georgia Tech. Don't forget it.
Syracuse +3 at home.
Syracuse.
I don't think you can bet it, though, New York State.
No, you can't.
Georgia, Michigan, and Texas tomorrow.
Michigan, Texas, very good as well, yeah. All right, that's it for us. Thanks for calling, texting, listening. Thanks to everybody. Happy Football Friday. We're back Monday with our first, you know, like, Buffalo Bills Football Monday, and we'll both be at the stadium Sunday as well. So Buffalo Bills game day is on the air at 8 a.m. Stay tuned for the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.